So, still got a lot to cover, so I kind of have to move on this. We've been talking a lot so far about data collection. That's all that this first discussion was about, was where do the numbers come from? Okay? And again, for our Nielsen folks, it's primarily electronic. For the folks at Arbitron who do the radio side of the equation, it's the PPM is there, but it's not everywhere. Not yet. Okay, so they still use all three of the of those collection methods in some markets. Not all markets are the same, as you will find out once you start doing this stuff for a living. So, the question becomes, now that I've got this handful of data, this handful of information, what the heck do I do with it? Right? Well, as anybody who studied statistics or math can tell you, the numbers aren't enough. Just having raw data doesn't do you much good. You have to look for what it actually means. And that's where these three terms on the side of, on the other side of the board come from. Or that's where they come in, I should say. The ratings, the raw ratings that you get from either one of these companies is just information. You still have to break it down. And each of the ways you can break down this information tells you something very important about your audience. Okay? First is TSL, time spent listening, is what that means. And that's basically a way to check how loyal is my audience. Do they listen for a long time? Do they sit down and listen for hours? Or do they only listen for 5 to 7, 10 minutes at a time? Knowing what your TSL of your audience is can tell you important things about them, like where should I put my contest announcements. If they listen for a long time, I have to run fewer announcements about those things. But if they don't listen for a long time, I have to run those announcements more often to make sure that I catch everybody I want to catch. Right? So if I have really high TSL, I can get away with doing longer programming. Now, most TSL averages about 7 to 10 minutes at the most. In fact, that's a little bit on the high end. It's closer to 5 or 6. And that's if you're lucky. But occasionally, interesting things happen about TSL. Let me give you a little example. How many of you guys have seen the Howard Stern movie, Private Parts? Mm-hmm. Most of you? Good. If you haven't seen it yet, watch it. Even if you're not a Howard Stern fan, because it will tell you a lot about how radio worked 20 years ago and in some ways still works. Some interesting things that you might chuckle at later when you meet your first boss and he tells you some of the same things that Howard's first boss told him. The thing about Howard Stern, the way this figures into a discussion of TSL is because back in the day when Howard was coming up before he was world famous and on satellite and all that stuff, he was just a guy in New York trying to get by. But he was doing it in a way that nobody had ever heard before. And so everybody's freaking out, right? This is back in the 80s. And Howard's saying things that, oh, you can't say that. Why not? Good question. Oh, you can't do that. Why not? There are no pictures. Oh, good point. Right, so he's doing all this stuff. He's getting all this press. And his bosses are freaking out because they're worried about the boogeyman. They're worried about the FCC. Everybody's worried about the FCC. But they're thinking, oh, somebody's going to complain, the FCC is going to come down on us like a ton of bricks, this is going to be awful. And then the numbers came out after Howard started to get some attention. And people found that his TSL was absolutely through the roof. And so, like any good management team, they figured, all right, we got to figure out what these numbers actually mean. So they did a little bit more detailed study of the information, and they found out that the average person who considered themselves to be a fan of Howard Stern listened for about half an hour, maybe 45 minutes, okay? Which is a pretty long time, but it's also your average New York commute, okay? So they listen, but they listen for a while, so the numbers are there. That's solid information. Interesting thing they found out when they're doing this survey, though, people who hated Howard Stern listened for 2.5 hours.
What?
Totally counterintuitive, right? Because you think, well, the natural impulse is, well, if you don't like it, what are you doing? Why are you listening? They listened because they didn't like it, because they were writing stuff down so they could get in trouble. True story. You're laughing, but it's true. Because then they would say, they would keep detailed lists, like little old ladies, and I assume little old men, would keep detailed lists of, they would say, on Wednesday at 10:13, he said this, oh my God. And then they would send that off to the FCC and say, go investigate this man, because he's doing awful things to radio. Right? That's what they were doing. So, but here's the thing. This backfired in a huge way, because those huge ratings meant what? More money coming in. And the way the fine structure was back in the 80s, frankly, the fine structure for the FCC, if you did get fined, was awfully darn low. And in a major market like, I mean, it's one thing if you're in Charlevoix and you get fined $25,000, your bosses would freak. Okay? But if you're in New York and you get fined $25,000, no big deal, because I am broadcasting to an audience of at least 14 million people, if not more, and that's money every day of the week. Frankly, I can afford to get fined because my numbers are so good that it doesn't matter. So the dirty little secret of management is, if my TSL is high enough, I don't care why you listen. I only care that you do. Doesn't matter to me whether you love or hate my programming. Now, most of you will be living in and working in markets where you don't have this option. Okay, I bring this up as an extreme example. Okay, don't say, oh, well, Eric said I could go do stuff that people hate and I'd keep my job and make you all kinds of money. No, that's not what I'm saying. Okay, I'm using Howard as an example to tell you that sometimes the numbers can tell you important stuff, but it doesn't always work that way. The TSL was through the roof because people were listening for a long time, which meant the commercials, you could charge more for the commercials, which brought the station's revenue up. That's the important thing to take away from this. So TSL is important because it tells you how often you have to repeat things in order to get everybody's attention. Okay. The next thing I want to talk about, and I'll get your question in a second, I promise. The next thing I want to talk about is this next set of letters, is AQH. And this stands for average quarter hour. Now, this one's going to require a little bit more explanation. When you think of quarter hour, what do you think of?
15 minutes,
right? Quarter hour, 15 minutes. Makes perfect sense. So let's make a quick little quarter chart. This is an hour of time. It's your clock. I divide it into quarters, roughly. AQH works like this. I compare AQH. AQH has a lot to do with TSL. I need to know what times you're listening. But the way AQH works is, I plot on this graph when you are actually listening. So this is 0, 15, 30, and so forth, right? So let's say that you start listening at 3 minutes after the hour. And you listen all the way through till, let's say, right here at 16. All right? Well, 3 from 16 tells me that's what? 13 minutes of real time, right? Okay. But on the AQH scale, you were listening in this quarter hour, and you were listening in this quarter hour. So that actually counts as 2 15-minute time periods, which actually equals 30 minutes. Now, before you freak out and go, wait a minute, that's artificially inflating my numbers, it's not actually about the amount of time. What it is it's two 15-minute sweeps, okay? And you can kind of, and it gets worse if you listen for a longer period of time. Let's say that I started listening at, say, 12, and I listened all the way through because they were talking about something cool, and I stopped listening at 34. So 34 minus 12 is what, 22 where I come from? So that's 20, it should be 22 minutes, right? But it's actually 1, 2, 3, which is actually 45 minutes. But it's what that actually means is it's 3 quarter-hour chunks. The reason why this is important is because if you couple this with TSL, here's what happens. Now I've got a graph. Now I've got an actual physical representation of who is listening and when. So I can take my AQH and my, I can take my AQH data and my TSL data, and now suddenly I've got little data points on my clock. And so I see where my concentration of listeners is. So if you've ever wondered why is it that everybody plays commercials at the same time, or very nearly, this is why. They have access to this information. So they take a look and they say, well, I've got my most listeners are here and here and here and here. So if I'm going to run commercials, it's going to be in these time slots. So that's why you have commercials that run toward the back of the hour, right up at the top of the hour, and then again toward the back and toward the bottom, and then again on the 40, or very nearly. And this is going to change from market to market, depending on what the numbers tell them. But this is how you figure out where your commercials go. It's directly from looking at the data. Okay? So don't think any of that happens by accident, because it doesn't. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. So that's the role that AQH plays in why are these numbers important? Why are these ratings important? That's why. Okay? The last one is CUM, which stands for cumulative. And this is two things. Number one, exposure to a signal for more than 15 minutes. If you didn't listen or watch for at least 15 minutes, it doesn't count. It doesn't get counted in the number. But if you did listen for more than 15 minutes, you get counted. And what we then use that for is taken as a whole over the entire day. We use that as our average to figure out, in very rough terms, total number of listeners at any given time. So again, total number of listeners or viewers at any given time. But that's a statistical average over the entire day. Okay? And that's what CUM is listed as. Now, as a programmer, I've got a couple of choices. Do I want to go for high TSL or do I want to go for high CUM? Well, there's pros and cons either way. And program directors make their living and sometimes lose their jobs because they guess wrong. You know, is it better to have a loyal audience that listens for longer, even though there might be fewer of them? Or is it better to have a high CUM, lots of people listening through the day, even if they only listen for little bits at a time? Honestly, it could go either way. And this is the game that programmers constantly play because you have to make a choice when it comes to programming. You can't please everybody all the time, right? So making those decisions is why programmers get paid a whole lot of money. When they make the right choices, when it works. Okay, so all this is leading up to the fact that you use these numbers, use the ratings numbers to find out this data, and now you've got actual information you can use. How often are people listening? How long do they listen? How many people do I have in my audience at any given time? Now that I know this stuff, now I can go to work. And so what I want to spend the rest of the time talking about is planning promotion using these numbers to go by, okay? So what you guys are going to do is you are going to plan your own promotion. So in a minute or two, what we're going to do is we're going to break into groups just like back in the day when you counted off in gym class is the easiest way to do it. You guys are going to break into groups and I'm going to give you a station that you work for and you're going to plan your own promotion. But when you're planning your promotion, there are a few things I want you guys to keep in mind, okay? When you're planning a promotion, first and foremost, you must have a goal. And that goal needs to be something you can measure. For example, your goal cannot be, I want everybody to have fun. Okay, you hope they do, obviously. You want everybody to have a good time at your promotion. But when I say you need to have a goal you can measure, it needs to be something concrete. Like, I want to make sure that 15 people sign up. Or I want to make sure that 85 people get through that door. Okay? That is the goal. Because then your boss is going to come to you the next day or even maybe the night of and they're going to say, hey, how's the promotion going? And you can look them in the eye and say, great, boss, we made our goal. Right? And that's going to justify their investment in the promotion. Okay? So you need to have a goal that you can measure and demonstrate. Right? We sold X number of units. We signed X number of people up to the email list. We gave away X number of T-shirts or tickets or whatever. Okay, so but there has to be something measurable there. Second thing, when you're planning a promotion, keep in mind there's an activity or sometimes a contest involved. And whenever you involve the general public, three very important words. Keep it simple. I mentioned last week the reason why we use caller number 9 so often, be caller number 9 and win the concert tickets, is because it's virtually impossible to screw up. Okay? It's so simple that it's really hard to break. Believe me, the public will find a way. If it's breakable, they'll find a way to break it. So keep it simple so that the odds of that happening go down. Can't guarantee that nothing's going to go wrong, but if it's less complicated, odds are that it won't go badly. Okay, so keep it simple when you're planning something. Number 3, you need to work with your sales department. These are the people who are the point of contact for the clients that you're going to work with, that you get your prizes from. So you need to keep your sales department happy. That doesn't mean you roll over for them and do everything they want, but you need to keep them in the loop. You can't just decide, we're going to do this, and that's the way it is. Okay, there needs to be communication here. It needs to be a two-way street. So you got to work with sales to not only come up with clients, but see what those clients want to do. Do the clients have a particular thing they want to push? Is there something they want to give away? Is there something that the owner is really interested in doing? We should find a way to do that. Okay, so you got to work with your sales department because they are important. They're part of this process. It's not just promotions making decisions on their own. And the last thing is maintain integrity. Do what you say you're going to do. And this sounds really easy. Sometimes it's not. Let me give you one example really quickly. A couple of years ago, there was a station out in California. And they had a brilliant idea for a promotion. And they talked about this all summer long. They were going to give away a Toyota. Now, Toyota's a pretty stable company. They make a lot of cool stuff. And the catch is they wouldn't say what they were giving away. All summer long, it was giving away a Toyota. Giving away a Toyota. Toyota what? We don't know. That's the fun. You'll have to enter in and find out, right? And so on their website and all over their on-air stuff, they talked about Toyota. We don't know what it's going to be. Could be anything. And they had pictures of cars and trucks and everything like that, right? Well, the time finally comes after 2 months of promoing the hell out of this thing. The time finally comes to give away the Toyota. And they do the old, you know, pull the number out of the fishbowl thing. And so a young lady wins the prize, and she's all excited, jumping up and down. Oh, I don't know what it could be. It could be anything. This is great. I love this contest. It's awesome. Thank you guys so much. And so here comes the staff, and they have this little box wrapped up nice with a little bow. Okay, a little weird, but whatever. And they hand her the box. She tears open the box. She's so excited. She's won the Toyota. And there she has her very own little plastic Jedi Master.
Toyota.
A toy Yoda.
Are you serious?
Dead serious.
Oh my God.
Now here's the thing. Some of you guys are going, ah, that's funny. It's hysterical. If it doesn't happen to you.
Yeah.
Okay?
No.
And I guarantee you that the audience, or the promotions department, when they were coming up with this thing, they thought, and this was a modern rock station out in California, right? So young hip guys. They're thinking, I guarantee, they're thinking in the meeting, oh, our audience will get it. They're cool. They will understand. Right? Uh-uh. No. Well, and see, here's the thing. The big screw-up was they had put Toyota imagery on their website.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Now, nowhere on the website and nowhere in their copy did it actually say you will win something from Toyota Motor Company. But that doesn't matter because the implication was there. And a judge found in this woman's favor because she sued.
Yeah.
She's like, this is breach of contract, breach of promise. You guys said I would get Toyota something, and this is not it. Now, and so she got a couple $1,000s out of the deal, right? Just for false advertising and breach of contract and all that stuff. Because they essentially, she argued, you misled me for 2 months. And the judge said, you know what, you're right. Now, again, I guarantee you, they didn't sit in that meeting and say, let's see how we can get sued. Right? They didn't set out to do that, but nobody ever does. Nobody ever sets out to screw up on purpose. Right? Nobody thinks their idea is going to backfire. But be careful, because sometimes it will. Don't be too clever about things, right? Keep it simple. Do what you say you're going to do. If you say you're giving away a car, find a way to give away that car. And if it's not going to be a car, don't say that it is. Right? What do you think?
I was going to say, how were they able to use images of Toyota stuff if they didn't have a contract for this?
Well, Toyota? some images you can use. There's what's called fair use and public domain of the imagery.
Google?
Yeah, exactly. Like if I Google search Toyota Tacomas, pictures of Toyota Tacomas will come up. Google does not have to pay Toyota to put those images up on the screen. That's what SOPA and PIPA was all about a couple of weeks ago. And that's a whole different discussion that I cannot get into now.
Yeah.
But you can use those images for free, provided you don't say, provided you don't do anything to charge money to make money off of that image. And because this was a promotion, and they weren't charging the customers any money, the radio station somewhat legitimately thought, we can get away with that. Where they screwed up was using the play on words, Toyota,
yeah,
and not making it absolutely crystal clear on their website that it was two different words.
Yeah.
Okay. Or that somehow in their copy, they weren't really, really explicit in what they were actually going to give away. And that's where the problem occurred. Okay. And they're lucky that Toyota didn't sue them, because I think Toyota could have made a case. Odds are that Toyota didn't find out about it until much later, and may have figured it's not worth the trouble, because
right,
these guys are already getting hammered for screwing up. But it does happen on occasion, so you need to be careful.
Yeah.
So, in the limited time that we have left, I at least want to get the ball rolling on some discussion, and we'll meet and discuss it next week when we come back. Here's what I want you guys to do. I'm going to break you guys into, we'll just do it really quick and dirty. I'll break you guys into groups of six. Quick and dirty. So you guys will be group one. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We'll do 7. You guys will be group 2. 4. And then you two guys on the end will be 6. So come on up here. You guys will be group 3. Group 4 in the back with a little help from 1, 2. That's 4. 2 of you guys come over that way. You guys will be group 4. Anybody? 2 people. I don't care who. And how many do we have left? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We'll do 2. Let's do 2 groups of 4 then. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 1 group of 4, 1 group of 5. We'll do it that way. So let's have you 3 and somebody from that end. And then anybody? So you guys, these 3 guys in the back, and you 2 ladies up in the middle, head back there, and you guys will be group 6.
All right, there we go.
Okay.
I was afraid of that.
I wrote this out yesterday.
Yeah, it's the simplicity part that worries me about you.
What I'm going to do now, stand by really quick. What I'm going to do now is I'm coming around with some different radio stations that you will be a part of in terms of their promotions department. We're going to do a little lesson 10 here. So you guys are the promotions department for your radio station. And what I'm going to pass out now are sheets that explain a little bit of what everybody in that department does. What I want you to focus on is the information that's on the bottom, on the very top and the bottom of the sheet. The top of the sheet will tell you what your format is. That should tell you also what your core demographic is. Demographic is very important. But at the bottom of the sheet, there are a number of businesses and sponsors who you want to work with. And so your job is going to be to come up with a promotional campaign that involves as many of those businesses as possible, keeping these 4 things in mind. Have a specific goal. Make sure it's simple. Make sure you work with your salespeople to find your clients. You've probably already done that, but you may need to sort of adjust things to sort of meet your clients' needs. You'll find out who those clients are in a minute. And 4, maintain integrity. Again, for this exercise, it should be pretty simple. So, what I want to do now is have somebody in your group pick a sheet. This is the station you work for?
Yeah, we already have it.
We're like, look, it's done. Right now.
Belgian beer tribute, so we've got a Stella Artois and Louis
Dornay.
Yeah, we need the right.
Is that your favorite beer?
Hold on, wait, if you want Belgian beer, say that to the Budweiser. That ain't gonna work.
Right.
Well, yeah, well, because Stella Artois owns Budweiser.
Or when we get a radio station
where the
it's AC
off,
because then
we're going to
email and more people don't
hear
especially like
thick Belgian
beer.
That's why we need
the
sports. We need like
97
then we'll have to do a vodka.
All right, here we go.
Vodka makes you warm. Yeah, vodka. Katie likes food.
They're all not real. It's okay.
One of the promotions I put down.
You get a good one?
Being done by WR. And who has to work with their demographic?
That could work. Is there some place that tells you
specifically what a demographic
is? Not exactly. For Riff, because Riff is an active rock station, the demographic is mostly male.
Might have to change.
I would say 25 to 54.
Maybe because I was going to include a trip to Belgium.
I got
you
that
do,
from.
I, should do
I forget I did a search
it,
on it.
Yeah, that's
and
what
that,
you
and then there was you know some article somewhere that kind of outlined what the demographic is.
Yeah,
but I didn't know if there was any place that has a specific.
To my knowledge, there is not a database that holds that information. But like you said, you can look it up.
Yeah.
Honestly, the Wikipedia entries out on the sheets are pretty good about that. The Wikipedia entries.
Yeah,
about
yeah that's where I got it.
There you go.
I got it.
Alright, so listen up really quickly. I'm going to let the discussion go for a little bit. What you guys need to do is, keeping your demographic in mind, take a look at the businesses that are at the bottom of your sheet. You all have different businesses. You all have different formats. What you want to do is come up with a big campaign that involves as many of those businesses as possible. Okay, so for example, the Light Rock folks, 102.7, you've got Milton Bradley, Horizon Day Spa, Lola Palm Readings, and Victoria's Secret. Take a look at the individual prizes that each of these companies is giving away. There is one prize that is more valuable than the others. Okay, that should kind of be a clue. That's your grand prize. Then you've got other prizes where you may have more than one, sometimes a lot more than one, like say 500 of something. So you need to structure how you're going to give all this stuff away. So think about that, talk about it, and we'll come back in about 10 minutes. All right, folks. I hate to do this to you. I hate to shut the discussion down, but we are almost out of time. Stand by for me real quick. Here's what I want to do. When we meet next week, we're going to go right back into these groups. I'll give you guys a couple minutes to get your ideas finalized. We'll talk about them, and then we'll find out what everybody came up with. Okay? So we'll talk more about these ideas next week, and there will be another slightly different group activity next week that I promise I'll get to a little sooner next week as well. But I do love all the questions and everything else, so stand by real quick while I take attendance. Please listen for your name. Here we go. All right, thank you very much, guys. I'll see you next week.